But it is a countercultural realm where God reigns, this kingdom of God. It is a different world that we live in. And we take our identity as citizens of the kingdom of God. We are citizens of this countercultural realm that is of this world and yet not of this world. It is here. It is not someday when we die by and by. We go to this place where we know God, but it is now. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is now, and we live in this place where the kingdom of God is on earth in this countercultural way. We take our identity as citizens of the kingdom of God. We can stand tall and say, we are citizens. We're children of God. We've been adopted into the family of God, into God's people, and we are full citizens of the kingdom of God. We assume the new cultural ways of living in the kingdom of God. You know, where up is down, where things go in a different way than we expect, where love is the ultimate power, where things are done by God's grace, and we're grateful for that. We have the full resources of the kingdom of God available to us. We live with the full power and grace and resources of the kingdom of God. And just our journey as a community has shown that to be true, that it isn't done, calculated by human predictions or probabilities, but by God's grace of carrying us at a time when we didn't know what way forward was going to be. And we are so grateful for that. And then the result of taking our full place in the kingdom of God is how we live that out as cultural immigrants into this place called the kingdom of God. And we learn a new way of being and we live out the truth of what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. That being a part of the community of God, as citizens of the kingdom of God, we have a whole community with us. Kingdom implies people. You know, a kingdom isn't a kingdom of buildings or a kingdom of empty structures. It's a kingdom of people, a kingdom of all kinds of people that are a part of that kingdom, and we're fellow citizens with each other. So there are people all around the world that are a part of this kingdom of God. Everywhere we go and turn that are part of the kingdom of God, and we're grateful for that. The kingdom of God stretches backwards and forward with the eternal now of time and space that we talked about last week, and the eternal now that isn't bound by our finite understanding of time that only goes in one direction at a steady pace. But in the eternal now, we can go forwards and backwards, and all of history and behind us is a part of this community that we grow from and learn from and experience in community together. It stretches forward into the future, into those that we don't know yet that will come after us as we leave our legacy and they come after to carry on. So they're all a part of our community. And the entire biblical community is a part of our community. So all of those stories that we read about in Scripture, the stories that we love to tell, are all a part of our community. They speak into our current lives, our current existence, our current struggles. And I love it that this book tells the good and the bad. It tells the times that they were really disobedient and screwed it up and did all the wrong things. God said, do this. And they said, I don't wanna. I'm doing this. Did all of that, as well as the times when they were faithful and it just didn't seem like it was working and what's going to happen and how can we move forward. And yet God was faithful to walk with them day by day, call them back to walk with him. And not as we were reminded a few weeks ago by Philip, we feel a tap on the shoulder, not this way, but over here. And that we follow that persistence. Sometimes there's detours that we don't expect. And we catch us off guard because we're going down this path and we're pretty sure that's what God said. God's like, no, over here now. But sometimes we have to see around the corner before we can see that new way. And if we don't go this way, we can't see around the corner. So it's important to take these journeys and to walk with God as we go with Him. But the entire biblical story is full of those kinds of stories, as well as the ones that are just miraculous and sweet and lovely, and where it all worked out, and we're grateful for those stories as well. But we have all of this community that journeys with us in the eternal now that is present to us and speaks into our lives. We have our own collective stories from throughout the church, the history of the early church, and through the centuries since then of the many, many people that have been faithful. We have a particular synergy with others that are called Quakers. And we'll delve into that more next week as we think about what it means to be a Quaker and how we're connected around the world. I love that. You guys came to us from Kenya, from the Friends Church in Kenya. And there's this connection there because you're a part of the Friends Church in Kenya, but you're a part of us too. And that connection that goes around the world where we can tangibly feel this sense of connection to others. We share resources with the community of God, so we aren't alone. Just the simple resources of knowledge and wisdom that has come down through the ages, of telling the stories, of bearing witness to God's faithfulness to us as we work through things, the learnings that we've read about in books or in scripture, or the word of mouth has been carried on. The resources of being connected in the community, of being able to share together in the community. But just to know that we're there for each other, and that that sense of community is tangible and real, and we can hold on to it. The results of being a part of the kingdom of God extend into our economics, where we live by Jubilee economics. I had a huge learning this winter, as I grappled with the idea of Jubilee economics and what that meant, and realizing that we're living the year of Jubilee when we live in the kingdom of God. That this isn't just a system that God gave in the Old Testament whereby they were to forgive their debts and free the slaves and let the land go back to the original owners on a particular cycle that they were to work through. That was all true. That's in the Old Testament. We read about that economic justice that was in place and writing of the abuses that happen in an economic system. And it isn't just about some unrealized future, that someday it will be this perfect future in which all is, everyone is okay, everyone is taken care of. But that we are to live the Jubilee economics as the citizens of the kingdom of God. That Jubilee has come in its fullness in the kingdom of God. It's no longer reserved just for the completion of the 7 sabbatical years, or after 49 years, which is 7 times 7, that in those specific years, then we live into the Jubilee economics. But it is to be a way of life, that we, as a part of the kingdom of God, live out the year of Jubilee. So we are in Jubilee, and that means that we're to live out God's radical system of economic freedom. Jesus wasn't saying that Jubilee is fulfilled within Jesus' ministry on earth back then as a done thing, nor simply within the gift of salvation, that we know Jubilee individually as we come to that saving knowing of grace and our own individual lives. But it's that it's the year of Jubilee coincided with Jesus' ministry beginning on this earth, and that it has come in fullness and is here for all time, now and forever. And while it began with Jesus, it doesn't end with Jesus. It doesn't end ever. It goes on for all of eternity. And as we live out what it means to be people that of grace and of freedom and setting the captive free and of honoring each other and forgiving debts and being a people of of grace and freedom in our lives, we live out Jubilee, and that's important. So Jubilee economics has at its base that there's enough. There's enough for everyone. And we actually know that to be true. When the economists look at the world, they say that if we did things right and we didn't get caught up in hoarding, hoarding throws off the balance. If we didn't get caught up in hoarding, that there would be enough food for everyone on this earth, that it would be enough to go around. And yet, I think that it's even beyond that, that there would be plenty for all of us. If we lived together with Jubilee economics, recognizing that we're all part of this community on this earth and that we share and bless one another and do it with joy and generosity, that there would be plenty for everyone. That there would be more than enough to go around and to grace everyone. There's also enough for us. We so often live with, I'm not enough. I'm not enough to do whatever it is that's in front of me. I don't have enough whatever I need to accomplish whatever is mine to do. And we struggle with that. How can I do that which I feel like I should be doing because I don't have enough or I don't feel like enough? And yet, in God, we are enough to do everything that God has called us to do. We are enough. God has given us everything we need to be faithful. God has given us everything we need to walk with Him day by day. We are enough to do that which God has called us to do. And we have enough resources for everything that God has called us to do. We talked about Walt earlier in God Stories. Walt was our treasurer for many, many years and used to talk about being the curmudgeon, the pessimist that lived among us. And he said, you know, we've never had to say no to anything that we thought God was asking us to do. We haven't been able to do everything we might dream about, you know, sit down and write out your wildest dreams and throw them out there. We haven't always been able, we've been able to do some incredible things, but everything that we feel like God said, yes, this is yours, we have been able to step up and do. That's pretty amazing. That's a God thing, that we have enough to do everything. And I think that is true about every one of us individually, and as a community, and as we lock arms with each other, and as we lock arms with the people of God around this world, that we are enough, we have enough to do everything that God is calling us to do. Now, sometimes it takes discernment. We have to sit with each other and say, am I to do this or this? God, how are you leading? And we need each other to think that through and to be clear about what is ours to do. But God will be faithful and show us way forward. We have open boundaries. The fullness of God flows in and out of us. We're not limited by what we can see or what is within some kind of closed boundary. But there's an open system in which God is present in everything. God flows in and out of everything. It doesn't matter whether it's practical things or whether it's simply a spiritual understanding. Doesn't matter anything. God walks with us day by day, step by step, and everything. We got a difficult thing, you're trying to figure out how to fix something in your house or whatever. God just delights in showing up and helping us figure it out. God is a part of all of life. And trusting that God will be there and will walk us through that, but just understanding that God speaks into all of our lives, and that nothing is closed off from God's entrance into that part of our life. Sabbath principles. Last winter we talked a bit about Sabbath and what it meant, and how for the Israelites that they were to work 6 days and then rest on the seventh days. And in that culture, the people around were kind of like, are you guys ridiculous? You think you get a day off every week? You're not the wealthy. You're not the elite kings and wealth kind of people. And those are people that just work all the time. But God said, work 6 days and take a seventh day of rest. And that we too find that we can do in 6 days, and that God will grace us with that seventh day. Now, we're less likely to live by the mandated Jewish idea of sundown to sundown and certain kinds of rules and all those kinds of things. But to know that there is grace. And we've done this time and task prayer, that there is a stretchy thing where time can match the task. But what I find is that time matches the task with time left over for respite. It isn't time matches the task and it's going to use up everything you've got. But time matches the task with time left over for respite, so that we can go on and do the next time and task. And I love that idea. That's a God thing, that there would be time left over for respite. Different ones of us take respite in different kinds of ways. But that, and that's okay. What works for, we need that sense of being rejuvenated to go back and do the next task. And so being able to trust that there will be enough time to do what I need to do and yet take the respite. The respite that I need to be able to do the next task. So I can live by Sabbath principles. And Jubilee Economics really is around restoration as well. The built into the Jubilee economic system was one of restoration, that the land was to lie fallow for a year. They weren't to work the land in an agricultural society. They were to let the land have respite, have a Sabbath year to get rejuvenated and not have to be worked before they replowed it and worked again. That the land returns to its rightful owner rather than the wealthy just buying up more and more of the land and the poor being shoved aside or becoming indentured servants on the land that owe their service to the landowner, that there was a way to right the economic imbalances that happen over time and return the land to the rightful owner. So there was restoration in that. That the slaves are set free and had opportunity to move forward and not be living under the authority of someone that owned them or that they were indentured servants working for. We are restored in this Jubilee economic. There's restoration that comes, new life that comes in us every day as we live into this kingdom of God and what it means to be the people of God as a part of the citizen, as citizens of the kingdom of God. The other thing is that in this community of God, there's no outsiders, that we extend grace to others as freely as God has extended grace to us. When we think about it, God has given us grace in ways that are amazing. And we would be crazy not to extend that same grace to others. To extend to people around us grace and love and joy, just as God has extended that grace to us. And so we welcome all people in our midst. Welcome them as insiders into the kingdom of God. Welcome them as people that journey with us together in this kingdom of God, figuring out the next steps. It's not a linear journey. You know, when we don't take it all the same way, well, here's the ABCs. Once you get A down, then you can go on to B. But you can't get to C until you've got B down or D. No, we do it in this most cattywampus way. We go from A to Z. We go back and pick up M. Then next thing you know, we're doing B. And then we're on X for a while. It just is all over the place. And yet we're all on a journey that calls us as citizens of the kingdom of God to live into what it means to be faithful in this community. We do that together. We do that by supporting each other. We do it as we walk in freedom into this community of God, which is huge. This kingdom of God. The culture has changed. Everything is new. And we live with the full power of God present to us. The fullness of who God is present to us in every moment. That is a huge miracle. Let's wait in open worship as we listen to God and invite God to speak directly to us, sharing with us that which is on our heart. And then we invite out of the silence that you would share the leadings that come to you as we listen.